In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is born. Brothers and sisters, I have something to give to you today, and it's something that I've wanted to give for some time. I had received this wonderful gift, and if you're a priest, one of the favorite gifts that you can get is somebody else's sermon to deliver to the people. And I have this wonderful gift that I've wanted to give to you even before Christmas. I wanted to unwrap it and give it to you and to use it in the homily, but I didn't. I waited till after the celebration of the feast so that we could gather together and to present this to you. It's a sermon from the 5th century, very old. The wrapping is ancient, and it's from our father among the saints, Peter Christologos. Anyone know what Christologos means? Christologos means of the golden words. It's a wonderful, wonderful term for this great homilist of the church, the one of the golden words. He was known for having a great deal of energy in setting out to improve the church. He was bishop in Ravenna until his repose in about 480 AD. Paganism was still prominent in the empire during his time, and he is credited for almost completely eradicating it in his region during this lifetime. He was a man of great charity, and as his name indicates, his preaching was considered to be inspired of God. We'll read his sermon. You see, it's very short. I think it's just a selection of his sermon. We'll read it, and then we'll unpack it together. We'll talk about it, because there are wonderful gifts here in this sermon. He writes, "A virgin conceived, bore a son, and yet remained a virgin. This is no common occurrence, but a sign, not according to reason, but according to God's power, for he is the cause and not nature. It is a special event, not shared by others. It is of divine origin, not human. Christ's birth was not bound by physical laws, but an expression of supreme power, a sacrament of piety, for the redemption of men. He who made the first man from pure clay made man a second time and was born from a pure body. The hand that took clay to make our flesh deigned to assume a body for your salvation. The fact that the Creator is in his creature and God is in the flesh brings dignity to man without dishonoring him who made him. Why then, man, are you so worthless in your own eyes when you are so very precious to God? Why render yourself such dishonor when you are so highly honored by him? Why do you ask how you were created and do not seek to know why you were made? Was not this entire visible universe made for your dwelling? It was for you that the light dispelled the overshadowing darkness. For your sake was the night regulated and the day measured. And for you were the heavens adorned with the varying brilliance of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The earth was adorned with flowers, groves, and fruit, and the constant, marvelous variety of lovely living creatures was brought forth in the air, the fields, and the seas, all for you, lest sad solitude destroy the joy of God's new creation. And still the Creator worked to devise things that could add to your glory. He has made you in his image, so that you might, in your person, make the invisible Creator present on earth. He has made you his legate, his ambassador, so that the vast empire of the world might have the Lord's representative. Then, in his mercy, God assumed what he made in you. He wanted now to be truly manifest in man, just as he had wished to be revealed in man as in an image. Now he would be in reality what he had submitted to be in symbol. And so Christ is born that by his birth he might restore our nature, He became a child, was fed, and grew that he might inaugurate the one perfect age to remain forever as he created it. He supports man that man might no longer fall. And the creature he had formed of earth, he now makes heavenly. And what he had endowed with a human soul, he now vivifies to become a heavenly spirit. In this way, he fully raised man to God, and left in him neither sin nor death, nor travail nor pain, nor anything earthly, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. You can see why he was called of golden word. In this wonderful short homily, there are many things for us to consider. I want us to look at four things, four gifts that are within this package. The first is the gift of creation. He talked about how creation was made for man, and it was given to man. We think about creation and the wonderful beauty of it and the order and the harmony and everything that comes with this gift of creation. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God is the creator, that he is the one that has set all of this up. Sometimes we think that to believe that God is the creator is somehow foolish or ridiculous, or it's believing in myths and fantasies. And yet, if we do that, we lose sight not only of the creator, but we lose sight of also the value of creation itself. Speak a little bit about the value of creation and this wonderful gift of God. You know, everyone has probably had the chance just a few days ago to open Christmas gifts, to unpack them and to look at them and to enjoy them. And some of the most popular gifts that were given this year were technological gifts. Probably some people got iPhones or iPads or those new watches that do the same kind of thing. We got these wonderful gifts of technology and science and man's inventiveness and innovative creativity. And we rejoice in these things. And yet, though they don't make us truly happy, they don't fulfill us. There are no material things that can quench our desire and fill our hearts. They're good, but not good enough. You know, we talk about these terms, invention and innovation and creation, they're different, but sometimes they're used interchangeably. What's the difference between invention and innovation? Anyone want to take a stab at that? What is an invention? Where something new is made to do something. Trick question. Who invented gravity? Anybody? God, that's right. I thought someone would say Sir Isaac Newton. No, he discovered it, right? Who invented electricity? God again, that's right. That these things are discovered by man. Okay, so an invention, though, is something that's new and something that's made, and it does something different. What's an innovation? It's where we take something that was invented and we tweak it, and we make it a little bit better, right? So we think about what's an example of an innovation. Thomas Edison is credited for the light bulb, right? Well, we have new and more advanced light bulbs today. His light bulbs were long phased out, right? We have new innovative light bulbs. But now what about creation? How does creation compare to invention and innovation? What has anyone created on this earth? Is there anything that's been created? What about those technological items that we kind of have craved in the Christmas season? iPhones, iPads, are they created?
Yes.
Yes and no. It depends on how we use these terms. In today's sermon, we'll make a distinction, a hard distinction between what's created, what's invented, and what's innovated. We think about the iPhone. It has a camera. It can take photos. And it has, I don't know, how many megapixels? Anyone know what the 16 megapixels, something like that? A very powerful camera. It could take these photos. Who created that? Apple?
Yeah.
They think that they did. But who created a camera? Somebody before Apple. But who created sight? The Lord. Who created sight? How about a recording device to record audio? The sermon's being recorded on an Android, but it's being recorded. Who created this? Samsung. But really, who was the creator of sound? The Lord. Everything that exists in the world, and Solomon wrote about this even in the Old Testament, he said that there's nothing new under the sun, that what was will be, what people have done they will do. There's nothing new under the sun. That from the moment of creation, all of these things came into existence, and God was the creator. Sometimes we think in our own pride that it's really man who's the creator. We're not a creator like God is. We have creativity. He gave us that wonderful potential. But we're not the creator. We don't call anything from non-existence into being. Not material things, not the laws of creation, not philosophical thoughts, nothing. We cannot bring things from non-existence into being. And though sometimes we think we can, we end up falling flat on our face. The classic example of this, of the idea that man can bring things from non-existence into being, or even that the universe, created order, could bring itself into being, is when we trace things back to that very beginning. What came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first? The Big Bang? Well, what was the material that caused the explosion, the birth? The human mind can never comprehend how creation was brought into being. And that reminds us that we are not the creator, that God is the creator. And He's given this wonderful world to us where we can see the beauty of the world, where we can hear and communicate with one another, where we can taste the fruits and the foods. Where we can feel the embrace of one another. Right? Where we can smell the beautiful smell of flowers. God has set all of this up for us and given to us as a gift. Okay, the second gift that we see in the sermon, the gift is being made in the image and likeness of God. He put it so wonderfully that He has made you in His image that you might be in your person the one who makes the invisible Creator present and visible on earth. He made you His legate, His ambassador, so that the vast empire of the world might have the Lord's representative. How do we make the invisible Creator visible? By the very fact that we're made in His image and likeness. And what does that mean? That we're able to be creative as He is creative. It's only a shadow of the creativity of God, but a shadow of God is a glorious shadow. We have the ability to love as God loves, to know as He knows, to be merciful and compassionate as He is, to show forgiveness, to be filled with wisdom, to be filled with patience and long-suffering and gentleness and self-control. And all of these wonderful gifts of the Spirit, that man has the ability, because he's made in God's image and likeness, to make God visible, to make the invisible known. The third gift is the incarnation, that when man ceased to make the invisible God known in his own self by falling from grace and losing the likeness of God and having the image tainted, that God came himself to restore that image. The invisible became visible. The creator became a creature. That God entered in to his creation and revealed not only who he is, but also he revealed who we are to be. In Christ, we see the God-man, the one who's perfectly God and perfectly man. And what a vision. Think about the creativity that we see in Christ. We're talking about creativity. He spat on the ground and he, in his spittle, he fashioned eyes for somebody. Think about the power that he has. He stopped the storm, calmed the waves of the sea. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all of these things that showed forth his divine power within human nature. This is what the wonderful gift of Christ is in the incarnation. And finally, the gift that is so eloquently put in this sermon is that Christ is born that by his birth he might restore our nature. He became a child, was fed, and grew that he might inaugurate that one perfect age to remain forever as he created it. He supports man, that man might no longer fall. And the creation he had formed of the earth, now he makes heavenly. And what he has endowed with the human soul, he now vivifies to become a heavenly spirit. In this way, he fully raised man to God. The final gift. We have the creation. We have the making of man in God's image and likeness. We have the incarnation of Christ. And then we have the restoration of man. The healing of his sicknesses. The opening of his mind. The warming of his heart. The raising of the dead to newness of life. That he makes all things new. He makes all things new. And when he makes all things new, he makes each and every one of us new. That we're reborn. We're refashioned. We're recreated, not by ourselves, but by the only one who could do it, the Creator. These wonderful gifts are all there for us. As we celebrate the Nativity of Christ, and as we look at this sermon by St. Peter Christologos, it's a reminder for us that there's so much there to be unpacked in our Christian faith. You know, this sermon sat on the shelf for how many centuries? From the 5th century to now. And we never read it together. We never talked about it together. We never unwrapped it together. God has many wonderful gifts for us. If only we would receive them, unwrap them, delve into them, enjoy them, and having received them, give him thanks and glory. Christ is born. Lord.